Craig Bolanos joins us, the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. Invest with WMG's the website. Welcome back, Craig.
Hey, John, good to be with you. Lots of action in this market on a Wednesday.
Like what?
Well, I mean, we just had the inflation data come in, and the core inflation was the lowest level we've seen in 3.5 years. I got super excited. Or, I'm sorry, the headline inflation was, but then the core that strips out the volatility of, you know, food, energy prices came in a little bit hotter than we anticipated, and that got people nervous that the Fed is only going to give us what I wanted, which is a quarter basis cut next week as opposed to a half. It's not earth-shattering news, but everyone can pretty much lock in right now an 87% chance of having a one-quarter of 1% cut next week from the Fed.
It's always amazing to me when we talk about the target numbers or the expected numbers, and then they come off, but it's a fraction of a percent. You make it sound like 0.3 is a lot different than 0.2.
You know, in the world of finance, every dollar matters, every percentage and every fractional percentage matters, because there is millions, if not billions, if not trillions of dollars that are constantly in play across the globe between central banks, currencies, and transactions. But for everyone who is investing for their retirement in a 401k, everyone who is saving into their IRA and participating in their 529 for college, focus on the long game. Let the traders worry about the day today, and you'll be well served over time.
But inflation is actually very near the target, isn't it?
We're getting closer, and we're getting a lot closer. I mean, the Fed's preferred measure of inflation, 2.6%. So we're not yet at 2, but we're at 2.6. And you just had, again, that inflation data come out, the CPI at 2.5. So we're sub 3. This is good news. We're trending the right way. However, we're just not out of the woods yet. We're not yet there. And the Fed's got to balance, you know, achieving lower inflation, which is stable prices, and balance that with continuing to maximize employment. That's the other piece of their mandate. And I think these rate cuts here really aren't about inflation coming down. The rate cuts are about making sure we don't have too many people laid off in the fourth quarter of this year and into 2025.
I want to talk a little bit more about inflation. That came up in the debate last night. And I'm trying to figure out now, when they talk about 2% is the inflation rate that's the target. Is that the core inflation rate or core prices, or is which number are we talking about here?
Well, you know what? I think the only number that matters is personal consumption expenditure, which is what the Fed uses as their preferred measure to actually influence what I call monetary policy, and that's at 2.6%. We can talk again about headline inflation. We can talk about core inflation. The bottom line is we really want to get to a number that resonates with people, and that number we're chasing is 2%. We're not yet there. The longest road to haul is always the last mile, and that's where we've been trapped for a while. But John, I gotta tell you, with oil prices at $67 a barrel, I remember a year ago when it was in the 90s, everything's heading the right direction. I'm just disappointed about shrinkage. That's less unsweetened iced tea and 5 fewer chips in my bag of my favorite brand of crisps.
Well, that does seem to be the way that companies are fighting the high cost that they have to, if not pass along to us, then shrink the size of the product that we're buying. We all notice that. But it's funny to me because the refrain is, oh, gas is so expensive, everything is so expensive. It's more expensive than it used to be. But it does seem to me like gas right now is at a manageable price point for a lot of people. What do you say about the price of gas right now?
I think 87 unleaded, that level of octane, is at a reasonable price in a lot of places across the country. There's still this ginormous delta for what some people call high test, high octane. That's 93 versus 87. But it's definitely going the right way. And we hope it's going the right way for the right reasons. You know, case in point, some of the volatility in the market today has been related to OPEC releasing a report that indicates indicates that demand for oil might be waning in the fourth quarter of this year. That's related to this entire discussion of soft landing versus hard landing. And it's 2 months in a row that OPEC has talked about the, you know, need or consumption of oil coming in at a slower rate. And all that means is our economy is still growing. It's just growing at a slower rate. But no, John, I'm celebrating the price of oil. I'm celebrating the price of gas. I think we're at a point in time that we're at a decent equilibrium there right now today.
Talking with Craig Bolanos. He is the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. By the way, a text has just poured in, Craig. It says, Craig is our financial guy. He and WMG are the best. How about them apples?
Hey, I love the accolades. And speaking of accolades, I don't know if there were a lot of accolades for that debate last night. It was fiery, it was tough, and it was light on specifics from both sides. And if you're loyal to him, you thought he win. If you're loyal to her, you thought she won. But if the market's the deciding factor, I look at the rally today in solar and green stocks, and that tells you who some people on Wall Street think came out ahead after Tuesday night's debate.
Explain that a little bit.
Well, what we saw is we've seen a rally today in solar stocks, green stocks, et cetera. And clearly that's a part of the platform that is more dominated by Vice President Harris. So if we look at that on the surface, that rally would tell you that the odds are a little bit closer in her favor after the debate. In the same way, you can look at the stock price of things like Truth Social, Donald Trump's company, and it's not having a great day. That doesn't mean anything about what independent voters are going to choose to do in November, but if we're looking through a lens 6 to 8 hours past last night's debate, it's clear that based on the allocation of money in the markets, Kamala Harris might have done a little bit better last night than former President Donald Trump.
Is crypto then off?
You know, crypto, as a result of Donald Trump's support for cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, things in particular, that is selling off today, and maybe that's related to exactly the same. And while we say that debates don't necessarily have consequences, I think debates do have consequences. Just ask current President Joe Biden if debates have consequences, and I think he would tell you they most certainly do.
Yeah, although a friend of mine said, well, if you ask former President Hillary Clinton, she can tell you that maybe they don't. Some people argue that she did better in the previous debates, but that didn't mean that she won the election. So it is interesting if you want to say who won the debate. I don't know how everybody gets to answer that for themselves, but it is interesting when the markets are saying something. And in this case, traders are betting, if you will, that Kamala Harris will get elected based on last night's debate, right?
That's right. And let's not worry about who won the debate. Let's only focus on who's ultimately going to win the race and what policies are going to be adhered to, either through congressional legislation or what I call executive authority, executive action. More on that to come. John, I've said it on your program before. I'll say it again now. I just hope we don't have a repeat of what we had 24 years ago with hanging chads and have to send this election to SCOTUS, because I don't think the country's too ready for that, and neither is the psychology of the American consumer.
That's my prediction now, where previously I thought Biden was going to lose, Trump was going to win. Now I think it's going to be close and it'll be decided in the courts. And I don't have much of an appetite for that either. Although last night they did mention, at least Kamala Harris did, that Goldman Sachs said that Donald Trump's policy for tariffs would lead to higher inflation and a worse economy. It did make me wonder, and that sounds compelling, but I wonder, is there an arbiter out there for all things economic? Is there a place you can point to and say, well, they said this, therefore that's the truth, at least as we know it today, about the economy? What's that place?
You know, I think that place is 833-WMG-PLAN. You call the Wealth Management Group, and we'll tell you how we think it is. But I can't point to a website. I can't point to a spin room, for sure, John, that's going to tell you that, you know, this is founded in truth. There's shards of truth. It's not just about concept. It's ultimately about how things are executed. And it's not just about tariffs. It's about the level of tariffs. There's too much. I wish I had a centralized database that I could point people to that would actually render a decision on whether policy is going to be economically accretive or a detractor. I don't have that. The proof is ultimately in the pudding, and it's for each of us who are members of this electorate to come up with our own decision on what's good for us, our families, and our local communities.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Are there parts of the economy, that is, sectors, that you think are looking pretty attractive right now?
Well, yeah, what I can tell people right now, and I'm very excited about this, you can tell by the tone in my inflection, is I think it is a great time for people just in their 401ks to really be looking at how much they have in that category that we all call large cap growth. And maybe it's time to start rebalancing that big overweight from large cap growth into large cap value. More specifically, we talked about oil earlier today. If anybody still has an overweight to oil, I think that overweight to oil should no longer be an overweight to oil. I think you want to take some of that oil exposure and get further into healthcare. And then above and beyond that, I think there's a strong argument to be made with five stocks, Apple, Microsoft, Nvidia, Amazon, and Meta, controlling 25% of the market, that people should be looking at making sure they have at least an ounce of utilities, defensives, REIT into their portfolio to offset what's powered the gains for the last several years, which is technology, and in particular, riding artificial intelligence.
Did you then mention dividend-paying stocks?
I love dividends. In fact, I don't just love dividends. I love dividends that are growing every single year, because if we're going to get retired and stay retired, what is better than to have enough of our capital allocated to companies who are consistently increasing the dollar amount of their payout each year? And a lot of those dividend companies do fall in that large cap value trade I just made reference to, John.
Okay. I can tell by your inflection that you think that's a good idea. Craig Bolanos is the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. That number is 833-WMG-PLAN. It's nice to talk to you today, Craig. Thanks for helping us out.
Great to be with you, John.
I mentioned earlier that for people with student debt, when a company has employees and the employees have student loans and they're outstanding, what happens when the company says we'll help pay off those student loans? One such company is Clayco. Katie Lane is the chief talent officer at Clayco, and she joins us on WGN. Katie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's exciting, and I'm happy to be here, John.
Tell us a little bit about Clayco. I know that you all are an architecture, engineering, construction firm. What do you all do? How do I know your work?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a full-service, turnkey real estate development, architecture, engineering, and construction company. We are in the design-build industry. We've got roughly 3,500 team members nationwide. Almost $6 billion in revenue. So if listeners are joining from Chicago, you might have heard about a couple of recent projects that have been in the news. The PsiQuantum campus in Chicago, 220 North Ada. We also reside in the Jewelers building, which we just purchased.
No kidding. That's where you guys are, at least the Chicago office, located, in the Jewelers building?
It is, yeah. A nice historical building, and now we are the owners of it, which is really exciting.
Are you guys going to renovate that building?
So I can't speak specifically to the renovations of it, but I do know we're going to expand our footprint in the building as we look at just increasing our visibility there.
It's not why I called, but I'm kind of curious. That's a well-known landmark in Chicago. So thousands of employees, though, and you all discovered, maybe it wasn't a discovery, that many of them have student loans. What did you all do about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So just a little bit of backstory. We discovered kind of on a fluke, all it took was one person, a young person in our architecture division, to happen to mention to our owner and founder, Bob Clark, that she was really struggling with repaying her student loans. She was still living at home with her parents. She had just graduated a couple of years ago. And she expressed to him just the tough time that she was having. And all it took was that conversation for Bob to come to me and go, you know what, I bet other people are having this challenge as well. And so we set out on a pretty aggressive strategy to provide a two-part solution for our team members to help them reduce that student loan repayment burden.
How many, I wonder, of your employees were carrying student or are carrying student debt?
Well, it's interesting. Across the United States, various student loan vendors anticipate that about 30% of people have a student loan debt. What we found when we sent out an email to our entire organization, we got about 10% of people replying that they had that student loan debt. Now, some people weren't comfortable, obviously, sharing that information with us, but roughly 10% of our 3,500 folks said that they do currently have debt.
So then what are the two steps or two-pronged program that you have?
Yeah, so the first part of it is the really amazing part. And we've partnered with a third-party vendor to help contribute on top of what our team members are currently paying. So essentially, when someone is hired here at Clayco, they are immediately eligible for this solution. And as long as they are committed to paying their minimum monthly payment on their student loan debt, Clayco has agreed to contribute $100 per month on top of what they're currently paying. We've got a tiered approach. So after that first year, Clayco is going to bump up their commitment to $150 per month. The third year, it'll be $200 per month. And then the fourth year and on, it'll be $250 per month. So it's pretty much a no-brainer. And I actually just spoke with a new team member of ours who started about 3 weeks ago morning. And he said, you know what, I don't have a ton of student loan debt, but this is just a no-brainer for me, right? It's Clayco contributing on top of what people are already doing to pay down that debt.
That must be an incredible hiring tool for you guys.
So we look at it absolutely from a recruitment and a retention standpoint. And right now we've got roughly 350 people participating in that program with our third-party vendor. So about as many people who said that they carry student loan debt are participating in that solution.
I don't know why they wouldn't. Well, is that the
Absolutely.
Two prongs, or is there another component to what you all are doing?
Sure. So there is another component, and this one we're seeing a bit less participation in, and I'll explain why. So we have another portion that essentially allows people to defer their 401k contribution to their student loan repayment, while Clayco still contributes as if they are paying into their 401k. So we're still agreeing to a certain percentage match that goes into a team member's 401k, while there, what they would contribute into their 401k is actually going towards paying down their student loan debt. We're recommending that mainly for people who are newly out of school, who might be able to afford waiting a few years to start contributing to their retirement, and also that have a large student loan burden. So again, we're seeing less participation in that and more in that first part, but there are still people taking advantage of that.
Yeah, I'm wondering about the math on that. That is, you don't want to lose the compounding interest of time with an early deposit into your 401k, but the interest rate on a student loan is higher than you're probably going to earn on the investments, so you want
exactly.
to pay down the higher debt. So it must be a calculation depending on how old you are or how much debt you have, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the really nice things that ties into this and what has happened as a result of providing these solutions is just that increased awareness of the need for financial literacy. So we're having more people reach out and asking for resources and solutions, whereas historically maybe people were not comfortable asking for help in terms of personal financial wellness. And this has started to open up that dialogue and allow us to provide some resources to help people be more financially secure.
When the federal government talks about programs like this, the pushback is from people who have already paid off their student loans or never had one. Are you hearing something like that from your employees?
So we did a lot of thinking in advance of rolling this out and thought, you know, what are the people who are going to benefit from this, or, you know, what's the difference between them and the people who did that? I can't benefit from it. You know, I myself am fortunate and I don't have a student loan burden anymore. I paid it off a long time ago. And we got nothing but positive feedback when we rolled out this solution. even from people who had just paid off their student loan debt. They were saying things like, wow, this is a really great program. While I wish it was around when I was paying off my student loans, it's really awesome to see the company doing this for its team members. So we've gotten nothing but positives. We look at it as, you know, all of the benefits that we offer our team members, not everything is going to be applicable to everyone. So, for example, everyone may not be able to take that maternity leave or benefit from FMLA or a leave of absence. This is very similar where, you know, maybe it's not relevant or a benefit to you and you just can't take advantage of it.
I think that's a very good answer. That is, a lot of times benefits accrue for everybody and sometimes not for everybody. And family absence is, I would suggest, a relatively recently changed workplace feature, in that when my wife and I had our kids, I laugh at the idea that they would have offered me time off, paid time off to help my wife and care for our kids. And yet I know somebody who, now much younger with young kids, rolled their eyes at the fact that it was only 4 weeks for the husband.
Right.
And I thought, are you kidding me? That's just, boy, have we changed the workplace dynamic and made it not only nicer, but maybe smarter for these employees, right?
Yeah, and along those lines, you know, with our student loan repayment assistance program, we're just continuously striving to think about how can we take care of our team members, not just when they're here doing work, but also outside of their professional life. And that student loan program ties directly into that.
So are you hiring?
We are. You can always go out to the Clayco website and look at our careers page. Absolutely.
Well, really, you describe yourself as a turnkey real estate company. That is development. You guys design, engineer, and then build these large properties. You probably need everything from carpenters to architects, huh?
You are absolutely correct. To the support staff who sits in the office day in and day out. So I'm happy to give a plug for, if you're looking for something in that realm, feel free to check out our careers page.
Especially if you have $100,000 in student debt.
Yeah. There you go. And I will say, John, you know, just looking at the math and the calculations, we're really helping people shave months and years off of their loan repayments, which at the end of the day, that's pretty inspiring.
I know you noted that $37,650 is the average student debt, $37,650. And I presume then that once I max out at $250 a month, you helping my student loan, as long as I make the minimum payment, that's in place as long as I stay in your employ, right?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Katie, nice to talk to you. Our best to everybody at Clayco.
Yeah, thanks, John. Appreciate it. Hope you have a great day.
Katie Lane is the Chief Talent Officer at Clayco. The website is claycorp.com. More business news on the Wintrust Business Lunch. There's Ryan Burrow.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. There's a convention currently underway in Chicago that actually dwarfs the Democratic National Convention last month. The 2024 International Manufacturing and Technology Show is underway at McCormick Place through Saturday, drawing up to 110,000 convention goers. That's more than twice the amount who attended the DNC. Choose Chicago reports it's the city's largest convention of the year. The NFL saw a 12% increase in viewership during week one of the regular season compared to last year. An average of 21 million people watched each NFL game. In total, 123 million Americans saw at least part of a game. The Chiefs' Thursday night win over the Ravens was the most watched at nearly 30 million viewers. The record number in the first week of viewers came despite CBS not being able to air early games in certain markets like Chicago, in competition with the Bears game, which was on Fox. The Sugar Grove Village Board last night approved the annexing of 760 acres of land along I-88 and Route 47 for a new development that will include housing, offices, stores, businesses, warehouses, and data centers. That's your Wintrust Business Minute. I'm Ryan Burrow.
Okay, now the business of food. Here's Steve Alexander.
Yep, and let's begin with a little Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Ooh, that smell.
It doesn't smell great.
Can't you smell?
Yeah, you can tell by the smell in the town of Morton that pumpkin harvest is underway. How's it going?
I believe it's going good. Our whole town smells like pumpkins right now, which doesn't really smell like pumpkin spice lattes or any sort of pumpkin food. Pumpkins actually don't really smell good when they're being harvested.
What does it smell like?
I don't know. I feel like you have to come here to really smell it.
And some 75,000 people will be doing that, packing into the pumpkin capital of the world for the 58th annual Morton Pumpkin Fest.
Yeah, we've got our opening ceremony starting at 5 p.m.
That's today, and the fun continues through Saturday.
We're super excited.
Who she is and more about Morton's big event after I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox, and you can find out more at ChevyDrivesChicago.com. And maybe put that Silverado on cruise control and head down I-55 from Chicago a couple of hours and then hang a right at Bloomington, and it won't be long before you will be able to smell the pumpkins being processed in Morton.
It doesn't smell great, that's all I can say.
That's Bridget Wood.
And I'm the Marketing and Communications Manager for the Morton Chamber of Commerce and the Pumpkin Festival.
The festival includes a lot of food and every possible way there is to use pumpkin in a recipe.
One of our famous ones is the pumpkin donut.
And there's a carnival and a parade.
And we have over 100 floats in that parade.
And there will be bands on stage and a fun run and a pumpkin way off.
There's the tiniest pumpkin, the biggest pumpkin. And then since it's the 58th annual, you try to grow your pumpkin to 58 pounds.
Not over, not under?
Yep.
The sponsor of the Pumpkin Fest is Libby Nestle, which turns the thousands of acres of pumpkins grown in the Morton area into cans of pumpkin for pies and whatever else you can imagine, and is one of the companies responsible for... Yeah, and you know, there's another way to think about that smell and many of the smells of agriculture. On the food calendar, it's National Hot Cross Bun Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Clearbrook is an agency that serves kids with special needs. Clearbrook provides early intervention, educational, vocational services, and they got a run coming up. So we thought we'd just give you a heads up on this one more time with our friend Jessica Smart, the president and CEO over there. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
What else do you do? I mentioned early intervention, vocation, education. What else does Clearbrook do?
We provide residential care, both in a medical setting as well as group home settings. And we provide community day service programs, employment, and we do this in 80 locations across 160 communities in the Chicagoland area.
Yeah. Well, talk a little bit about your clients, these people with disabilities, with special needs. Who are we talking about?
We are talking about children and adults that are impacted by an intellectual or developmental disability. Some conditions that we help support are individuals with autism, cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, just to give a sampling of what we do here.
And then are your services provided at a cost? How do people utilize you?
There is no cost to the individual or their family. The vast majority of our funding is state funding.
Is based on state funding? I'm sorry, you cut out there. You're right.
Oh, so, I'm sorry. It's state funding.
Got it. You have a run coming up Saturday, September 21st. Tell me about that.
We do. We're very excited. This will be our sixth annual Step It Up for Clearbrook. It's a 5K run, a 1 mile walk. It's a morning of fun for everybody that's involved, for an entire family to come out. There's a kids run, and it's a great community event for us. It's a time when the entire Clearbrook community can come together as one. Our individuals that we support will participate. Fellow staff will participate. Our community supporters will be here. Corporate partners, friends, families. It's a short morning, so people can come in and support a great cause, run a few miles, and be home for brunch.
Yeah, no kidding. And then put the calories back on.
Right, exactly.
This is going to be Saturday, September 21st, 8 a.m. at Cronin Park, which is near downtown Arlington Heights. How do people get to use you? If you have this resource, is there a waiting list for the residential or other services?
There is a waiting list for residential services, not only at Clearbrook, but statewide. There's about 16,000 people waiting for services like the ones that we provide.
Do you also provide therapy, occupational physical therapy for some people?
We do. We have what we call our Ability Center, which is not only a community day service location, but it is also a facility where our individuals can go for therapy such as occupational, speech, and physical therapy. And we also have community mental health centers that are open to the individuals served by ClearBook, but also the community.
If I want to participate, I can just donate. You raised about $100,000 last year, right?
We did. And right now we're at $100,000. So
Wow. We
want to, our goal is 120. So we are on track to surpass last year and hopefully reach our goal. And we are up to 700 registered runners and walkers.
That's terrific. The weather's been so nice lately. I'm sure it'll be this good next weekend, too. Clearbrook.org/step. You can make a donation. You can be there Saturday morning at 8 a.m. That's next Saturday morning at Cronin Park near downtown Arlington Heights to help the folks at Clearbrook. Nice to talk to you, Jessica. Let's keep doing this, okay?
You too.